Welcome to the UK Made Easy podcast, where we help aspiring international medical graduates like yourself achieve their dreams of passing their PLAB 2 and practicing medicine in the UK.
Hello and welcome to the UK Made Easy podcast. My name is Neda, and tonight I'm going to quickly explain to you how to tackle a telephone conversation like a pro. Now, as you all know, as part of the PLAB 2 changes, it has been clearly stated that we should expect telephone conversations to be a major part in all the upcoming exams. Why? Because not only are they trying to keep you safe, they're also preparing you for what's currently happening in the UK. The NHS recommends that certain concerns be discussed over the phone first before going straight to a doctor. This includes us as doctors too. So if there's something you need to discuss with a patient or with a relative, it's recommended that you do it over the phone if possible, not in person. This includes presenting a patient to a colleague as well. So if you think about it, telephone conversations could be applied in many of the stations that we're already familiar with. So you have to be well prepared, right? For example, let me tell you what we've seen come up till now. We've seen headache stations come via phone. We've seen depression, autism, obesity, and so on. Many history-taking stations where you're on the receiving end. The patient could also be concerned about a certain subject, like meningitis, and wants to know more about it. There are other scenarios where you're the one who's calling, for instance, to break bad news, or to ask a nursing home about a confused patient. You could also be asked to present a case to a consultant over the phone, right? So basically, just anything. Okay, so let's break these down to three types of scenarios. Number one, a history-taking or a counseling station where you're on the receiving end. Number two, you're the one calling a patient or a relative or caregiver, either to inquire about something or to break bad news. And number three, you're just calling another doctor to inform them about a case. So what do we do differently? Well, it depends on the scenario, right? So let's take it step by step. So our first scenario, how do you talk to a patient who's calling in with a concern? Well, in stations like these, nothing's really too different. You'll get into the cubicle, you'll find a phone. The call will be connected automatically for you once you enter the room, so you don't even have to touch the phone at all. Here, the patient is the one calling, so you have no sensitive information yet, nothing to worry about. So all you have to do is just confirm the name and age, break the ice, and proceed with your consultation just like you normally would. The only difference is that you won't be examining this patient, of course. He's not here, right? You're just deciding whether or not you're going to call him in for further examination or investigations. Now, let me give you some little tips that I've come across. Now, many people that have reported that they've fallen into a little trap called their subconscious. Now, as PLAB 2 candidates, after repeated practice, you tend to memorize certain sentences and just blurt them out in places where they don't make sense at all. For example, some people develop the habit of ending their history with a sentence like, "I'd like to examine your chest and order some routine investigations," right? I mean, it's standard. We've all been there. Now, under stress, you're going to be tempted to say it automatically. So please be alert. The patient is not there, okay? You can't say that sentence. All you have to do is, again, inform him that he might need to come in for certain investigations. Then make sure you put some extra stress on your safety netting to make sure that your patient's aware when he has to come to the hospital immediately. Now, moving on to the next scenario. What if you're the one calling a patient or a relative? It's still easy, but in this case, you have to confirm the identity of the person you're speaking to, especially if you're not talking to the patient himself. This is part of confidentiality, so forgetting that part will bite a huge chunk off of your mark, so be careful. Now, how do we make sure we're talking to the right person? After introducing yourself, make sure you ask the following four standard questions. Number one, may I have your full name, please? And of course, if you're speaking to someone other than the patient himself, please confirm the patient's name as well, the one that you're referring to, the one you're calling about, okay? Number two, the patient's date of birth. Number three, the address. And number four, the NHS number. Then you'd proceed like you normally do. No issues there. But again, let me give you some tips that I've noticed. If you're speaking to someone other than the patient, make sure to adjust your questions accordingly. For example, I've seen candidates ask a nurse about a patient's home condition or the number of cigarettes she smokes per day. I mean, the nurse hasn't been to the patient's home, right? So how would she know something like that? Please do not ask questions that are too personal to an unrelated person. It implies that you've memorized a certain script to the point that it doesn't even make sense. You don't actually have to take a detailed psychosocial history in cases like these. And if you feel the need to, try to use the right words at least. For example, you could say, by any chance, do you know approximately how much Mrs. Green used to smoke? Or, do you have any notes in her file regarding her physical activity? Do you have any idea if she was under some kind of stress lately? Right? That makes more sense, right? You get what I mean? Okay, last but not least, our third scenario. What if you were to talk to another doctor, specifically a senior or a consultant? Now, as medical professionals, we're all equipped with enough skills to refer a case to a fellow doctor, right? However, the way you present your case is what makes you grasp the examiner's attention. It's what makes you different. Go for confident, organized and systematic, thorough yet relevant and to the point. Now, how do you do that without actually thinking too much? The key is in what we call the S-bar approach. Now, many of you might have heard of it, but I've only seen a minority who actually use it the right way. And believe me, if you do, it doubles up your IPS on spot. So what does S-bar stand for? S is situation, B is background, A is assessment, and R is recommendations. So according to S-bar, you want to describe the situation you have first. The S, so start off by stating the patient's name, the age, and the presenting complaint. So basically up to Socrates or Odepara or whatever technique you use there. Then you go on with the B, background. Here you have to pick out only the relevant information from the history, like associated symptoms or medical conditions. You have to be quite precise so you don't talk too much, so please pick out what you want to say here carefully. Then on to the A, assessment. Here you're going to tell the senior what you've done to further assess the patient, like examinations and investigations, anything that you've done, and your probable diagnosis. Then finally the R, your recommendations. Now this is basically the management in any regular station, but you're just saying it to the examiner, not to the patient. Now here you have to be really organized, so make sure you cover four main points. First, you start off by saying whether or not you'd like to admit the patient. Then, if you'd like to involve a specialist, what are the further investigations you'd recommend? And then last, the specific treatment. What should it be? These are the four main points that you absolutely have to cover while presenting your case. Okay, so now that we know what S-bar is, let's see what it would look like if we apply it correctly. So let's say we have a patient who's in sepsis due to a UTI, okay? You've taken history, you've examined, you've investigated, everything is perfect. Now what? You're not allowed as an FI2 to manage sepsis on your own, right? So let's present this case to our senior. Okay, here goes. So I have Mr. John Smith here, 68 years old, who was brought to the A&E by his wife around an hour ago. He was confused and agitated, and according to his wife, he's been quite confused since yesterday, and it's gotten worse this morning, and he's currently not oriented to time, place, or person. That's my S, okay? Now for the B. I wasn't able to take any history from him, but his wife stated that he developed fever, pelvic pain, and dysuria 3 days ago, and he was given trimethoprim and paracetamol at the hospital. He also had urinary obstructive symptoms and was in for TURP 1 week ago. He has no medical conditions and no family history of significance. On assessment, I examined the patient and he was feverish at 39 degrees and his vitals were deranged, so I put him on an oxygen mask and I started him off on 500 ml warmed crystalloid for further titration. I examined his abdomen and there was tenderness at the suprapubic area. I also found a turbid urine in the bag. I ordered routine investigations, including CBC, UNE, and CRP. Now, considering his age and past medical history, I'm suspecting that Mr. Smith is in sepsis due to an unresolved UTI. So I'd recommend we admit him for further stabilization and inform the ICU in case he deteriorates or develops a septic shock. We should also order further investigations, including abdominal ultrasound, maybe a chest x-ray to exclude other causes of sepsis that might happen at this age. Meanwhile, I recommend we consider adequate analgesia because the patient was quite in pain after ruling out contraindications and allergies and starting him on the sepsis 6 protocol immediately. Then I'd go on to explain the sepsis 6 and that's it. See how that went? Very smooth, well organized, and if you do it this way, you'll sound very elegant in comparison to other candidates. So the S-bar approach works both on the phone and in person. Many, many scenarios. Just start applying it in practice, get used to it, and it will make your life so much easier. So this marks the end of the episode for today. I hope this gave you a head start on some issues and cleared your doubts. Good luck, everyone, and thank you for listening.